भगवते वा वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
देवकी नंदनाय च
देवकी नंदनाय च
नंद गोप कुमाराय
नंद गोप कुमाराय
गोविंदाय नमो नमः
गोविंदाय नमो नमः
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य
ज्ञानांजनशलाकय
ज्ञानांजनशलाकय
चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन
चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन
तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः
तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः
नमो विष्णुपादाय
नमो विष्णुपादाय
कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले
कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले
श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत
श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत
स्वामी नित्य नामिने
स्वामी नित्य नामिने
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे
गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे
गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे
निर्विशेषः शून्यवादी
निर्विशेषः शून्यवादी
पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे
पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे
वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च
वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च
कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च
कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो
वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः
वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः
पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं
पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं
भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं
भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं
भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं
भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं
नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं
नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं
हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो
हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो
दीनबन्धो जगत्पते
दीनबन्धो जगत्पते
गोपेश गोपिकाकांत
गोपेश गोपिकाकांत
राधाकांत नमोस्तुते
राधाकांत नमोस्तुते
तप्त कांचन गौरांगी
तप्त कांचन गौरांगी
श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी
श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी
विश्वभानु सुते देवी
विश्वभानु सुते देवी
प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये
प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या
प्रभु नित्यानंद
प्रभु नित्यानंद
श्री अद्वैत गदाधर
श्री अद्वैत गदाधर
शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद
शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद
हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे
हरे राम हरे राम
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा तो विद्या परमेश्वर Gospel. So first of all, we welcome all the devotees who have come here for the Bhagavad Gita class. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text 10, 11 or maybe 12. But first of all, I just like to seek blessing of the Lord and blessing of all of you, so that you know whatever we may be able to speak here will not at all be any offensive, and because of the blessing only maybe we'll be able to do anything. I always remind myself when you know I come for hearing the class, or maybe this time like Prabhuji's order, you know, giving the class, the important thing is the mood in which we come here. Like I heard in one devotee's class, he said that the mood of coming to Srimad Bhagavatam or Srimad Bhagavad Gita class is very important. Our mood should be that of a patient who goes to the hospital and not of a tourist who goes to the hotel. You know, there is a gulf of difference between the two. A person, a tourist, go to the hotel for what? For enjoyment, not for entertainment. But a person, a patient who goes to the hospital is very, very desperate. He knows that, you know, I am not well actually. I am contaminated. I am in a diseased condition of life. And therefore, only doctors, only hospital, and only the prescription and medicine can cure me. So when we come here, you know, our mood should be that we are approaching Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or Vaishnavas in this mood that we are materially contaminated. And the only time when we associate like this is what, you know, we are spiritual. Like one devotee told Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, sometimes I feel that I am in Maya. Prabhupada said that you are always in Maya. The only time you think that you are in Maya, maybe you are Krishna conscious. But that is the situation. And also, I would like to, you know, speak this loka, which is very, very important. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 6th chapter, 36th verse, giving the answer to many various questions of Vidura, Sri Maitreya Muni says, Tatha pikirtiyami yanga yathamati yathashutam kirtim swamsat hari kartum gira anyabhidashitam. He says that, oh my dear Vidura, you are asking me so many questions, but I am not qualified to speak at all, you know. But he said, but in spite of that, in spite of my inability, whatever I have heard from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, yathamati yathashritam, so that whatever I could assimilate, I am going to speak to you by pure speech, for otherwise my speech will become unchaste. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very, very brilliant purport in this verse, and he says that everyone has to glorify the Lord. You know, this is our duty. He says that because tongue has to vibrate, if we don't engage our tongue in the glorification of the Lord, then it will talk all nonsense. And Prabhupada said many times that if you are not talking Krishna, you are talking nonsense. And Prabhupada said that everyone has to glorify the Lord, but for us it is not possible for a jivatma with four defects to glorify the Lord fully, because Lord's glories are unlimited. You know, Lord's lila, pastime, form, quality is very, very unlimited, and we are very, very limited. So it is not possible for us to glorify the Lord to the fullest extent. And therefore he said that yathamati yathashutam, that whatever I have heard and whatever I could assimilate, I am going to speak. And also Prabhupada says that still, you know, whether one is able to glorify the Lord fully or not, but one must make an humble attempt, because he says that this speaking is not a matter of research, but a submissive hearing from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So like this, whatever we are going to speak here is not our own. Like, you know, I don't have any qualification, but whatever I have heard from devotees and from Guru Maharaj, I'll just try to present. And you know, the situation I was analyzing, this is fact actually, that we are now going for this preaching, preacher's training program, that we are all students. But sometimes teacher says that you come this side and recite something. Like my daughter recites sometimes. So I consider Prabhu that, you know, whatever you have told, I will just try to explain. But if there is any mistake in that, you know, I beg pardon. Please forgive me. So we read from text 10. Aparyaptam tadasmakam
aparyaptam tadasmakam
balam bhishma virakshitam
balam bhishma virakshitam
paryaptam tidume tesham
paryaptam tidume tesham
balam bhima virakshitam
balam bhima virakshitam
aparyaptam tadasmakam
aparyaptam tadasmakam
balam bhishma virakshitam
balam bhishma virakshitam
paryaptam tidume tesham
paryaptam tidume tesham
balam bhima virakshitam
balam bhima virakshitam
aparyaptam tadasmakam
aparyaptam tadasmakam
balam bhishma virakshitam
balam bhishma virakshitam
paryaptam tidume tesham
paryaptam tidume tesham
balam bhima virakshitam
balam bhima virakshitam.
Prabhuji is coming, sir.
Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhima virakshitam paryaptam tadasmakam balam bhima virakshitam
aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhima virakshitam paryaptam tidume tesham
balam bhima virakshitam. In this synonymous, aparyaptam, immiserable, tat,
that,
asmakam,
of ours,
balam,
strength,
bhishma,
by
grandfather Bhishma,
abhirakshitam,
perfectly protected,
paryaptam,
limited,
to,
but
idam,
all this, etasam,
of the Pandavas,
balam,
strength,
bhima,
by bhima,
abhirakshitam,
carefully protected.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat.
Our strength is immeasurable,
and we are perfectly protected
by grandfather Bhishma,
whereas
the strength of Pandavas,
carefully protected
by Bhima,
is limited.
Can
someone read purposefully? Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hearing an estimation of comparative strength is made by Drona Duryodhana, he thinks that the strength of his armed forces is immeasurable, being specifically protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of the Pandavas are limited, being protected by a less experienced general, Bhima. He is like a tree in the presence of Bhishma. Duryodhana was always envious of Bhima because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would only be killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on account of the presence of Bhima, who was a superior general. His conclusion that he would come out of the battle victorious as well as advantageous.
We read text 11. Ayaneshu cha sarveshu
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu
yatha bhagam avasthitah
Bhishma
meva virakshantu bhavanta sarva evahi
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu
यथा भागम अवस्थिता भीष्ममेवा विरक्षन्तु भवन्तः सर्व एव हि अयनेषु च सर्वेषु यथा भागम अवस्थिता भीष्ममेवा विरक्षन्तु भवन्तः सर्व एव हि.
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthita bhishma meva virakshantu bhavanta sarva evahi
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthita bhishma meva virakshantu bhavanta sarva evahi.
Ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthita bhishma meva virakshantu bhavanta sarva evahi. Ayaneshu,
Ayaneshu
in the strategic points,
cha
also, sarveshu
everywhere,
yatha bhagam
as differently arranged,
avasthitah
situated,
bhishmam unto grandfather Bhishma,
eva
certainly,
abhirakshantu
should give support. Bhavantah,
you,
sarve,
all respectively,
evahi,
certainly.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat.
All of you
must now give food.
Support
to Grandfather Bhishma
as you stand
at your respective
strategic points of entrance
into the plans
of the army.
Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhishma, further considered that others might think that they had been considered less important. So in his usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhishma Deva was undoubtedly the greatest hero, but he was an old man, so everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. He might become engaged in the fight and the enemy might take advantage of his full engagement on one side. Therefore, it was important that other heroes not leave their strategic position and allow the enemy to break the flanks. Duryodhana clearly felt that the victory of the Kurus depended on the presence of Bhishma Deva. He was confident of the full support of Bhishma Deva and Dronacharya in the battle because he well knew that they did not even speak a word when Arjuna's wife Draupadi, in a helpless condition, had appealed to them for justice while she was being forced to appear naked in the presence of all the great generals in the assembly. Although he knew that the two generals had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that these generals would now completely give it up as they had done during the gathering performances.
You read text 12 also. Tasya sanjanayan harsham
guru
vidda pitamaha
simhanadam
vinaduchai shankham dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanayan harsham
guru
vidda pitamaha simhanadam
vinaduchai
shankham dadmo pratapavan. Tasya sanjanayan harsham
guru
vidda pitamaha simhanadam
vinaduchai
shankham dadmo pratapavan. What was our translation? Tasya
is
Sanjayanan
increasing.
Harsham,
cheerfulness.
Kuru Vriddha,
the
grandsire of the Kuru dynasty,
Bhishma.
Bhishma.
Pitamaha,
the grandfather.
Simhanadam,
roaring sound,
like that of a lion.
Vinadaya,
vibrating.
Uchchaihi,
very loudly.
Shankham,
punctual.
Dadatmo,
blue.
Tatapavan,
the valiant.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Then
Bhishma,
the
great valiant grandsire of Kuru dynasty,
the
grandfather
of the fighters,
blew his conch shell very loudly,
making a
sound like
the
roar of a lion,
giving
Duryodhana
joy.
Perfect.
The grandson of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the thought of the grandson Duryodhana, and out of his it was his duty to conduct the fight. Would be safe in that time.
Very well. Thank you very much. So here we are reading from chapter 1 and we have come up to text 10. Last time is the Ramakrishna Prabhu very nicely explained about all the verses before. Actually this war of Mahabharata is not an ordinary war. It's a very very important war. It's a war between dharma and adharma. That is how it is to be taken. And the first 27 verses of the first chapters are actually introductory verses. You know, where the introduction is given and then Arjun tells Krishna that please, you know, take my rath in between the armies. And then, you know, how he gets bewildered and Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. In this chapter, we know how Duryodhan approached the Dronacharya and he is speaking. And here he said that aparyaptam tadasmakam. He said that our army is immeasurable. You can't measure. Because there were 18 Akshoni Sena as we discussed last time, that 11 were on the side of Duryodhana and 7 was on the side of Pandava. And this Akshoyani, if you know we put calculation, it does not fit in our calculator. Now I was just referring to Mahabharata and I'll just speak what is this Akshoyani. Now what does this mean? It said that one chariot, one elephant, 5 foot soldiers and 3 horses form one patti. 3 pattis make one senamukh. 3 senamukh are called a gulma. 3 gulma a gan. 3 ganas a vahini. 3 vahinis together is called a patina. 3 patinas form a chamu. 3 chamus form one anikeni. And one anikeni taken 10 times forms, as it is styled by those who know, as an akshoyini. You know, this is the calculation of Akshayani. If somebody wants to calculate, they can calculate. And it is said that the number of chariots in an Akshayani is 21,870. The measure of elephant must be fixed at the same number. And also know that the number of foot soldiers is 109,350. And the number of horses is 65,610. You know, this is what the number is given, is actually one Akshayani. And there were 18 Akshayani and there were unlimited soldiers who fought actually. That if you see, you can't see anything but the soldiers around. So this war was very very important. And here what Duryodhan is very confident about. He said that I have Narayani Sena, you know, and our Sena is immeasurable. You can't measure it. It's so many army and so many chariot drivers and everyone are there. And he said that Paryaptam and their Sena of Pandavas is very limited actually, you know, that is not much. He said that I am very confident that we will win. But as Ramakrishna Prabhu rightly explained, that you know this was actually the fear of Duryodhana, that he was very fearful, that he went to the general Dronacharya and he was discussing all this thing, because a diplomatic person is, you know, very very fearful also of his situation, that although there is so much in his bowel, you know, still he was very very fearful. And Srila Baladev, Vidya Bhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas, even Ramanujacharya says, they said that aparyaptam means insufficient. You know, aparyaptam Duryodhan referred as immeasurable. You can't measure, my army is so large. But they said that aparyaptam means it is actually insufficient. You know, paryaptam means sufficient and aparyaptam means insufficient. So they said that their army was actually insufficient and paryaptam, and Pandava's army was paryaptam. Why? There is a reason, because Krishna was there. So he said that without Krishna, everything is zero. As Prabhupada explained, that you put 1 0, 1 0, 1 0, 1 0, 1 0, all zeros are zero. But if you put 1, 1 0 becomes 10, then 100, then 1,000, then 10,000, and million and trillion like this. So if we have Krishna in our life, then everything is actually, you know, full. It's actually paryaptam. If Krishna is absent, then you know, whatever you may have, it's all bogus. So, you know, the important point which Acharya say is that we should put Krishna in our life. Krishna should be center of our activity. And also if you read further, when very important line Prabhupada writes that Duryodhan was always envious of Bhima. And he says that our army is protected by grandfather Bhishma. while their army is protected by a less intelligent person, you know, Bhima. He considered Bhima always less intelligent because there were many reasons. First of all, he knew that if Duryodhan has to die, he will die only at the hand of Bhima. So he was very, very envious towards Bhima, and he tried to kill Bhima so many times. So one very important lesson which I was thinking we can draw from here is, you know, on this envy, that how much envious Duryodhan was towards Bhima, that he could not resist. So in this sloka also, his envy is actually, you know, coming out. It is pouring from his heart that, you know, Bhima, it is actually protected by Bhima, and he is so much of envious. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 13th chapter, 11th verse, you know, Prabhupada writes a very nice, brilliant purport. In that, Prabhupada says that one person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. That generally, you know, everyone is envious of others. The Krishna conscious movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. So that why I have established this Krishna conscious movement? Because we want people to become non-envious. He says that of course it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but Krishna conscious movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. So what Prabhupada actually wants from ISKCON is that our ISKCON should be such. No, like I was just sharing with Shiv Kumar Prabhu one lecture which I heard, where His Holiness Radhananda Swami Maharaj was saying, he was speaking about the pastime of Aghasur, and he said that Aghasur, why, when he was killed, actually his soul merged into the body of Krishna, and he said that why this happened. So the reason is, he said that when this cowherd boys, they saw Aghasur, they thought that it's a very big cave, and you know, let us go enter in the cave and have some fun. But later actually they realized that this is not cave, there is some danger involved in this. Even though there was a danger and they understood that there is some danger, still they said, okay, what is the problem? Even if there is danger, Krishna is there. And they were laughing and joking and, you know, everything. And they happily actually entered in the cave. So this was actually seen by Aghasur. He was seeing that, you know, how come, you know, they are so fearless actually. You know, that they are seeing that I am, you know, big python, I am there, and they are entering in the mouth of the death. Still they are very cheerful, very, you know, loving towards each other. They had a very nice friendship, very nice relationship. This Aghasur appreciated. He said, wow, what kind of, relationship they are having. And just because of this little appreciation, you know, his soul merged in Krishna. So that was important. And Maharaj was actually speaking about his realization. And he was saying that this is what actually is wanted. He said that our temple, you know, should be such exemplary that even if a demon like Aghasur comes in the temple, his heart should melt. His heart should melt. So this is what Prabhupada wants, that our society should be such that even if demon comes in between us, you know, he should appreciate, no, these people are really doing something, you know, worth. And, you know, so many scholars actually appreciated Prabhupada later, that, you know, he is the person, you know, who is doing, even Prabhupada appreciated Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for that matter, when he met first time. He said that the movement of Lord Chaitanya is in the right hand. So that is what is actually required, and therefore our society should be non-envious. And it is said that, you know, we have 6 anarthas, envy one of them. All the other anarthas can be used in Krishna's service, like anger. It is said that Arjuna fought with anger, he used anger in Krishna's service. Hanumanji burned the whole Lanka in anger, so anger is used in Krishna's service. Greed can be used in Krishna's service. You know, you can be greedy for Krishna, you can be greedy for service, you can be greedy for Krishna prem. Other anarthas, everything can be used. Lust can be used to produce Krishna conscious children, like that, you know, everything can be used. But envy cannot be used in Krishna's service. Although, you know, in some form it can be used, but it is not desirable. That, you know, envy cannot be used in Krishna's service. Because if you envy Krishna, or if you envy Krishna's servant, then gone. Because our whole existence here in this material world is just because of envy. And our Sudama Prabhu very jokingly say that envy means what? Envy. No vacancy in spiritual world. So that if you are envious, then there is no vacancy in spiritual world. So envy is very, very dangerous. It's like a deadly disease. It's like a poisonous effect. And when a person is envious, his motivation, his behavior also can be known. Like there is a story that one person, he was making penances and austerity, and you know, the Lord appeared and he said that ask for a boon. But Lord said that whatever boon I'll give you, I'll give double to your neighbor. So you know, he started asking that please give me one car. So there was two car in the next. Then he said give me one nice house. So there was bungalow, you know, double house. So everything was actually multiplying. So he got builder. He said, my God, what is this? You know, I did actually penances and austerity, but he is getting the benefit. So then he thought and he said that Lord, please pluck my eye, one eye. And you know, both the eyes are gone. So that is actually the mentality of, so this Duryodhana, he was so envious of Bhima and the Pandavas that he didn't actually, you know, like in Agyatvas, he says that after 13th year, if you are seen, then again for 13 years you have to go, because I don't want to see your face. You know, he was so disgusted and so horrible because of his envy that he didn't want to see the Pandavas. And Bhima said that it is good for you, because whenever we will meet next to each other, I'll kill you. And therefore he was very much afraid of Bhima. He said that anyone but, you know, Bhima, so this is actually you know, envy. And whatever Duryodhana did actually after a series of events which went, including Lakshadra and giving poison cake to Bhima and everything, it was his actually activities and motivation. So it is said that whatever we do or what activities we do is not so important, but what motivation we do is very much important and counted. Any activity is either material or spiritual depends upon our desire, our motivation. For example, if it is tinged with material desire, then it's a material activity. If it is tinged with spiritual desire, it becomes spiritual activity. Same activity, but you know, the motivation is counted actually. So it is very important. And this Dhritarashtra, Prabhupada rightly says that he was physically blind, spiritually also he was blind. So he didn't know anything about spiritual life. That even Krishna wanted to instruct him, he didn't listen to Krishna also. And Chanakya Pandit says that Dhritarashtra actually did not act properly. Like he says that tajede kam kulasya arthe gramarthe kulam tajet gramam jana padasya arthe atmarthe prithvim tajet. He says that tajet ekam he said that to protect one family, even if it is required to sacrifice one member of the family, we must do it. He said that no problem. To protect a family, one member of the family can be sacrificed, no problem. To protect a village, the whole family can be sacrificed. He said that, you know, when there is a threat, and he said that to protect country, the whole village can be sacrificed. He said if there is a threat to one country, you know, and if it is necessary that, you know, we have to sacrifice one village, he said that do it, because it is for good, the whole country will be protected. And he said that atma arthe prithvim tyajet, he said that to protect oneself, even if it is required to die, we should die, you know, to protect our atma. If we are required to prithvim tyajet, the whole earthly planet, if we are required to live, we should do it. So it is said that Dhritarashtra should actually have, you know, sacrificed Duryodhana. Vidur said that actually, you know, this is envious snake which is there, and he will destroy the whole Kaurava dynasty. And they didn't listen actually to Vidura's good advice, and they actually exiled Vidura. But if Duryodhana was not there, you know, this war would not be there. And this was partially because of Duryodhana and partially because of the spiritual blindness of Dhritarashtra. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that what is actually spiritual desire and what is actually material desire. He says that Atmindriya Priti Vancha Tare Bali Kama Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nama. He says that Atmindriya Priti Vancha, that if an activity is done to ourselves for our sense gratification, it is what? Kama. It is lust. That any activity done separately from Krishna, to enjoy separately from Krishna, is what? Kaam. It is lust. And Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nama. And any activity which is performed to please Krishnendriya, the senses of the Krishna, that is actually prema. So the activity may be same, but with what motivation we are doing. Like Arjuna and Bhima were also fighting for Krishna, fighting for Dharma. But Duryodhana and others in that army, they were fighting for adharma. So even though there were people like Bhishma Pitama, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, they were all actually, you know, very dharmic, but they were actually fighting on the path of adharma. And it is said that the, like, you know, the activity may be same. The example is given that Titanic was floating on the water. Then what happened? One iceberg came and Titanic crashed into it and it was devastated, it was destroyed. So it is said that what is the cause of destruction of Titanic? Water. Water. Basically iceberg is what? It's actually another form of water, you know, formed as ice. So water was the cause of floating Titanic and the water was the cause of destruction of Titanic. So it is same actually, but in liquid form it was actually floating, in solid form it destroyed. So if we use our desire for Krishna, you know, we can, the same desire can be the cause of upliftment. And if we use all our desires and activities for ourselves, it will be the cause of our destruction. And you know, Prabhupada gives a very, very nice example. We can relate to it. He says that how, you know, by serving the senses of Krishna, we are also enjoyed. He said, suppose there is a one very rich man, you know, he is having a very dynamic car, maybe Bentley or something like that. It's a very high fundu car with all fully loaded, full option. Everything is there in that. Nice AC, nice speakers, then GPRS enabled and everything. So he said that when he is sitting in the car, and you know, this car is with chauffeur also, with driver. So all the facility which is there in the car, which is meant for the enjoyment of the rich person, the owner, but driver also enjoys. Correct? By the virtue of sitting in the car, he is also enjoying. Although he may be a very, very poor man, but he is enjoying that. You know, he is also listening to the Bose speaker. He is also, you know, having AC and all this, whatever the facility is there. The owner cannot say, oh, you close your ear, or you know, you have a Winchester or sweater. You know, this wind is only meant for me. No. So Prabhupada said that if, you know, if we act like that, the driver, you know, who is driving the owner, we enjoy all the facility. So if, you know, we become driver of Krishna, we enjoy all the facility. But the problem is when owner is not there, the driver thinks, no, I am the owner. There the problem starts. Then owner say, get out from here, you know, and he'll actually sack him from, he'll sack him from his job. So he will lose the job, he'll lose the facility, he'll come on the street. You know? So it is said, there is one. He said that aaj dharti aur kal chakravarti. Like, you know, like you cannot become like that. No, you may be chakravarti, you can come on the dharti, you will come on the road. So by pleasing Krishna's senses, like the pleasing the rich man, you know, all the facility in the car you enjoy, the driver enjoys. Similarly, by pleasing Krishna, you know, whatever belongs is actually belongs to Krishna, which ultimately belongs to us also. And also Prabhupada actually gives another example, like husband is like Purush and wife is like Prakriti. So when the Prakriti supports Purusha, you know, there is an enjoyment. Purush enjoys, Prakriti also enjoys. So it is actually a mutual, that if you please Krishna, we are also pleased. And it said that there are no two things. You know, there is only one thing. Like in spiritual world, there is only one thing. There is only one desire. What? Service to Krishna. And that we want to serve. Jivar Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. And in material world also, there is only one thing. What? Lording over material nature. You know, that is only one thing is there. That what we want to become? We want to become God. You know, we want to become enjoyer, the master, controller, everything. You know, so and therefore we come. This all happens what? Because of the envy. And this is actually the root cause of the envy, that you know, the desire separately to enjoy, you know, desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Because if we have cooperation with Krishna, then there is no clash. But the clash happens when Krishna has some other desire, we have some other desire, and then this clashing is happened. And it is said that that we are very, very, you know, minute. Krishna is Poorn. You know, we are actually apoorn and also, you know, very, very minute. So we cannot enjoy. So sometimes what happens that there is a desire to enjoy, but we don't have facility to enjoy. And because of this, you know, we can't enjoy the material world. And material world, Prabhupada said that is made in such a manner that, you know, dukhalayam ashashvatam. It is temporary and it is full of misery. That misery will be there. Like, you know, if a person has fallen into a swimming pool, you know, it is but natural that he will be wet. You know, he cannot avoid water. So the water will be there in some part of his body. So it is said that this material world is actually dukhalay. You know, it is full of misery. So once having fallen down in this material world, we cannot avoid misery. know, some miseries will be stuck on our body, mind, intelligence, everywhere. And it is said that anything which does not support our enjoyment fosters our envy even more. And His Holiness Dayamrit Swami Maharaj, he gives a very nice example to understand this thing, that how we are frustrated actually. And like, you know, we see that Duryodhana is totally frustrated, and therefore he is quoting Bhishma and Bhima particularly. So His Holiness Dayamrit Swami says that everyone wants to fulfill his desire to enjoy sense gratification, but he does not have the facility to enjoy, and therefore there is a problem. And he gives example, he said that suppose in a college there is a very beautiful girl, and you know, the boy, he gets attracted to that girl. But who is this boy? He is a bhikmanga, he is a fakir, he is a bhikari, he is a fatichar, you know. He does not have anything, but he has desire to enjoy this girl. But he cannot do anything actually. And this girl is Amir Jadi, she is very very rich. So what he does, he goes to his friend and says, oh, please, you know, give me your suit, give me your tie, give me your shoes, give me your car, give me your perfume, give me everything. You know, he takes, and then he actually, you know, becomes ready and approaches the girl to propose the girl. And you know, as he is approaching the girl, he sees that there is another good looking boy who comes with a very nice attire, puts his arm to this girl and takes her away, and he says, this is mine, you know, this is my girlfriend. And imagine His Holiness Dayamrit Swami Maharaj says that just imagine, you know, how much extent of envy, you know, that could arise in his heart. That first of all, he had some desire, he didn't have the facility. Somehow he borrowed the facility and he was approaching at the last time, last moment, khata, you know, it was gone. So it gives more rise. So similarly with, you know, Dhritarashtra, that he was, first of all, he wanted to enjoy the throne, but because of his blindness, he could not. Then fortunately, unfortunately, Pandu died. Then he thought, at least now, you know, now I am king. And he was always protecting his crown and his throne. But what happened, that Pandu's sons are there. So according to Dharma, they will become, the elder son will become. But he always wanted his son to become. He said that at least I am not enjoyed. You know, it is said that sometimes, you know, I have seen that elderly people, suppose some things they have not done, you know, they want their children to do. Like, you know, there is one example that one person, he was, he wanted to become actually artist, but his father actually forced and said, no, you become a doctor. You read science, become a doctor. So forcefully actually, you know, he wanted to become, and he became a doctor, but his desire was to become artist. Then what happened? That his son was born, and he actually wanted his son to become artist because his desire was artist, but his son was inclined towards engineering. So frustration in life, that, you know, whatever you want, you don't get actually. That is klesha. So he didn't get. Then there is a more frustration. So it is said that, you know, this girl, beautiful girl, is compared to the material energy, material nature. We are bhikmanga boys, we are fatichar boys, you know, all the souls. And then, you know, we don't have facility, so we approach devatas. We go to demigods. Please give me this, please give me this, please give me this, please give me this. And somehow or other, you know, we become rich, we become powerful, we become strong, we become, you know, influential. And then we approach material nature. But at the last, one small looking boy, he comes, takes the material along and says, Mama Maya Durattaya. He says, Devi Eshya Gunamai, Mama Maya Durattaya, Mameve Prapajante, Maya Metam Tarandir. So Krishna says, this is my Maya, yeah? This is mine. So this material nature is actually mine, and takes away, and we are just, you know, frustrated. But the important thing is, if our senses are actually in tune with Krishna, then there is no problem, there is no clash. And therefore, you know, the root of envy is our desire independently to enjoy separately from Krishna. And what is the result actually if we do like this? First of all, you know, we become very very hard hearted, you know, very very hard hearted, like Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. They were very very hard hearted. That it was finally told, Krishna said that please give 5 villages, because they are Kshatriya, their duty is to rule, they cannot beg actually. No, please give 5 villages. He said, I will not give a land which fits on the tip of a needle. You know, like that also I will not give. He was so hard-hearted actually, and so envious of them. And because of that, what happened? He lost his intelligence. That, you know, he kicked his good advisor, Vidur Muni. No, he kicked him actually. He said that you go away from here. Everything what he was doing was actually, you know, cause of destruction. Everything in that matter. So the result of envy is that one becomes hard-hearted and one becomes and loses one's intelligence. And then what happens? Lack of appreciation. You know, like for example, in devotee circle, we see that if we are envious of someone, that, you know, we can't appreciate him. It's very, very difficult. And that sometimes actually leads to cruelty also. Cruelty is not physical, but, you know, sometimes that I will somehow try to do something, you know, which will harm him or like that. So it's very, very dangerous disease. Therefore, it is said that all other anarthas can be engaged in Krishna's service. Envy cannot be engaged in Krishna's service. It's a very, very deadly, poisonous disease. And, you know, the cruelty, if you see on the part of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, that they wanted to kill, you know, their own son. Actually, they were, you know, non-different than Dhritarashtra's son and Duryodhana's brother. But they wanted to kill them. At every possible moment, you know, they were planning to kill them. Wherever, you know, they had opportunity, they wanted to kill. So this cruelty came only because Duryodhana was very much envious of Pandavas. And envy is also like, you know, it makes us blind. That because of envy, we can't see. Even if there is a good quality, no, we can't see, we can't appreciate. And an envious person can praise only himself. Like there is a story that Dronacharya told Duryodhana, told that, please go and find a person who is better than you. And he went everywhere, came back and said, I couldn't find anyone who is better than me. And he told Yudhishthira that, you please go. And then, you know, Yudhishthira went and said that, you know, I am actually facing a lot of problems because everyone is superior to me. I am so fallen. You know, so envious person cannot appreciate but himself, or at most he will appreciate only the inferiors. You know, like he will not be able to appreciate equals or a person who is superior to him. Very difficult. He will appreciate inferiors but will not be able to appreciate his superiors. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, you know, he explained actually in a very practical way for devotees. He said that a person who is a good singer, you know, he is not generally envious of a good preacher. Or a good preacher is not envious of good cook. The good cook is not envious of good preacher. Or the good cook is not envious of a very nice book distributor. Or a very nice book distributor is not envious of very good manager. You know, because the field of activity is different. But a good singer is obviously, you know, envious of another good singer. A good preacher is always envious of another good preacher. You know, this happens actually. You know, when the field of activity is same, that envy comes. That everyone but him, you know, I cannot appreciate him. So it's very, very, you know, difficult proposition. And therefore, you know, he can't create another, you know, like him. For example, he can't train anyone. Because he thinks that, you know, I am a good singer. If I train him, then, you know, there is a threat. You know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are various kind of bhaya are described. That rogi bhogi roga bhayam balichuti bhayam vritte nipalad bhayam mane dhanya bhayam kulichuti bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam. Like that, you know, many bhayas are described. And it says that like one person who is, you know, very powerful, he is afraid that, you know, if more powerful person comes, then what will happen to me? No, like that. So envy does not allow actually, you know, to train people or maybe, you know, to tell trade secret. Now, for example, if there is one example was there that in Bombay or somewhere, na, there was very nice you know, a person who made very nice bhel, and his bhel was actually different from all the bhel which you find in Bombay. So people used to go, and there was some secret he didn't know. So one devotee asked, he said that, what is that, you know, some all people are coming to you. He said that, this I can't tell you, this is my trade secret, because if I tell you, then, you know, I'm lost actually. So he will not tell. So this is very dangerous. Once what happened at in temple Bombay, one devotee came from west, and he was actually kicked out of the temple there. So the temple president asked that, what happened, that, you know, why you were kicked out? What happened? You know, you were conducting yourself properly, you were humble enough. He said that, yes, Prabhuji, but the problem started that when I started preaching, distributing books, and, you know, coming on forefront, so I started getting so many things. It didn't actually, you know, liked by our temple president, and he told me once that there is only one temple president and there is only one preacher. Get out from here. So like that. Envy is very dangerous because envy makes us blind. We cannot see properly that what is happening. And therefore, we cannot tolerate the success of others. It's very, very difficult. Even though, it is said that, like Chaitanya Charitamrit, Mara sometimes says, is a very nice, thing to understand, that whenever one person, a devotee, will get special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the other devotees will say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They will become so happy. Like in Mahaprakash Leela, we see that when Haridas Thakur is getting special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Srinivas, Mukund, everyone will say, yeah, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. When Srivas Thakur will receive mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, other devotees will glorify. So this is what, our society should be. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. If we become envious towards even one entity, we cannot achieve Krishna Prem. And an envious person cannot be a proper disciple. Discipline. An envious person is always, envious of someone. So he cannot be under discipline. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at two places that why he is giving this knowledge to Arjuna. He says that first in fourth chapter, he says that Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyamati uttamam. He says that I am giving you this knowledge because you are my devotee. But at other place in ninth chapter, he says that idam tu te guhya tamam pratya pravakshyami anusuyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajjatva mokshiye subhat. So this anusuyave word is there. It anusuyave means non-envious. So Krishna says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna said that my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of the material existence. So he said that the foremost quality which Arjuna you have is what? You are non-envious. You are not envious of me. And we see that there are so many people in the world who are envious of Krishna. Even the commentator on Bhagavad Gita, they are all envious. Therefore, Prabhupada had to write another commentary. And he said that why there is a need to write another commentary? Because all the commentary of 600, commentators they have written, they are actually envious of Krishna. This is their one very big disqualification, and because of this, all these Bhagavad Gita commentaries are bogus. They are not at all worth of reading it because they are envious of Krishna. They make Krishna either as a ordinary human being, or they think that Krishna is some historical person or is a mythological personality or something like that. And because of this, because there is a offense, very gross offense towards Krishna, even if you read these commentaries, Krishna Prem will not come. And therefore it was very important, that Prabhupada wrote this as it is. That we are presenting Krishna as it is. No envy towards Krishna. We have only 5 minutes, so I'll just try to conclude. And it is said that how could actually, we overcome envy. The foremost important thing, which we have to overcome envy is cooperation. And this is the last instruction of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He said that you will please me by how you cooperate. Now this is the last, when he left, this is the instruction he gave. He said that you will please me by how you will cooperate. So this cooperate is actually not a material formula. Maharaj says that unless and until, one passes through the gateway of Trunadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada. To be a humble than a blade of grass, to become more tolerant than a tree, to give all respect to others and expect none in return. If we conduct ourselves like that, only then we can become truly humble and tolerant, and then we can cooperate with each other and become non-envious. And also it is said that we should glorify the devotee with whom we have envy. One actually disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he said, I don't remember the name, but I was hearing from Gaur Gopal Prabhu's class all this thing. So he said that to any devotee, if you envy, try to glorify him. And he said it is very difficult actually. Like we gave example that a nice kirtan singer cannot glorify another nice kirtan singer. Truly. Like externally we might say, a good preacher cannot glorify another good preacher. A good manager will not glorify another good manager. He will glorify cook. Oh, very nice. Oh, what prasad you have made. Fantastic. A cook will say, but a cook will not say that, anyone can make prasad better than me. And therefore, it said that why the position of Srimati Radharani is supreme? Because Srimati Radharani, when she recommends a devotee to Krishna, she says that this devotee is better than me. This is what Srimati Radharani says. Therefore she is supreme. She is the supreme compassionate figure. So we should actually glorify, you know, each other. Sometimes it is said that even though, but you know, you can first make an act of glorification if, you know, truly we are not feeling, but it should not continue for long. Otherwise there is, you know, no benefit. Sometimes it is said that if you don't feel enthusiastic, you know, act enthusiastic. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, but it should not be always, you know, like empty bullet. That, you know, just shooting empty bullet. You should have real bullet. Then only we can appreciate. Otherwise, very difficult. If we cannot appreciate devotee, we cannot appreciate Krishna. We cannot approach Krishna directly, but only through a devotee. And therefore, if you see in our parampara, so much of importance is given to Vaishnavas. You know, we always sing that Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namah. That always it's very, very important. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj says that it is important to remind ourselves that at the end of the day, all we really have is each other. And he says that to see a Vaishnava and not become happy is an offense. So it's very, very important. But here we see that this Duryodhana was so envious, you know, so horrible person that he could actually never appreciate Pandavas. There is no single incident where, you know, he appreciated Pandavas. They saved their life also. Once when he was caught by Yakshas, you know, actually they went and they, otherwise when Yakshas caught Duryodhana, Yudhishthira Maharaj has to do only one ishara, Haribol, cut his chop off. And Mahabharata was finished there only. But still, you know, they saved. And therefore, you know, so he was actually surviving sometimes, many times, because of the mercy of the Pandavas. Still he was envious. So what lesson actually, you know, we can learn and what conclusion we can derive from this reading is, first of all, you know, we have to become non-envious. Then only we can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And doing that is not an easy activity. You know, by becoming non-envious, we have to become cooperative, appreciative, helping. You know, there are so many aspects of devotional service which we can do. And if we do this truly in you know, the spirit, then only, you know, some drop of mercy will fall upon us. And at our, like, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that ekla ami nahi paabu, that, you know, I cannot alone do something. You know, I need cooperation of everyone. So when the Lord himself is, you know, in a form of a supreme devotee, he is teaching us, you know, we should also depend upon Vaishnavas, depend upon the blessings of the Vaishnavas, and follow this verse of Trunadapi Suni Chena Tararopi Sahishnuna Amanin Mana Mana Dena Kirtani Sadari. And then only we can chant very nicely, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Very nice preach.
I hope I didn't exceed my time.
Any questions?
You said that everything can be used in the service of Krishna except envy.
Yes, Prabhuji. Like we gave example, I think, I don't know, you had not come that time. So that Arjuna fought in anger for Krishna. Hanumanji, he burnt Lanka with anger. You know, like that anger can be used. Greed, you can be greedy for Krishna. You can be greedy for Krishna's love. You can be greedy for the association of devotees. You can be even greedy in material aspect, to use that material aspect in service of Krishna. Lust can be used in Krishna's service to produce Krishna conscious children. So like this, you know, all anarthas can be used in Krishna's service. Except envy. Because envy cannot, you cannot become envy of Krishna. Like, you know, maybe I'm not aware of
Krishna. You see this?
No, like in one aspect you can become envy. Like you can become envy of from materialistic. But then you cannot become a good creature. That is not our moment. You know, our moment is to be compassionate. Not envious. So envy means, you know, you are not liking another person or another jivatma or another being for that matter. So it can be used in Krishna service. Maybe, you know, I am not aware, I am not that much knowledgeable. It can be used in Krishna service sometime, but it is not desirable. It's not desirable. Any comment from your side, Guruji, on this point?
Envy
also
for Krishna service. If I am envious, also of you, I will work harder to exert you in preaching.
Yeah, that
so
is not envy. That is actually spiritual competition.
Yeah.
See, for example, the two book distributors.
The competition is coming from envy.
No,
not humbleness, not humility.
No,
the
it's not humility.
If I am very humble, that means then competition will not take place. Because for the competition,
no.
The driving force is envy. Otherwise, the competition will not take place.
Yeah, please.
The envyness can be doubted. The example is Kamsa was always in the grudging mood. Even in the sleeping time, you want to kill Krishna. But at the same time, he was in yoga. Even in the sleeping time, he was always thinking of meditating of Krishna.
Yeah, that is what I am saying. Whether that is desirable?
No.
That is Pratikula Bhakti. So Anukula Bhakti is...
What
is
Rupa
not.
Goswami says is Anukulyana Krishnanushilana Bhakti Ruttama. That is the highest.
Highest.
So we aspire for highest. Anyway, that is what I am saying. It can be used in Krishna service. Not
but
desirable.
Not
desirable.
First two words are that Sunada Chakravarti is translation of Paryaptam, Abhiryaptam. I think that that is more suitable in that words.
Correct. But what Duryodhana
meant? That words itself, Duryodhana is doubtful about his victory.
Correct.
Because he knows that his team is not a disunity.
Correct.
Disunity. The other under Bhima, even their chief, chief is this. Krishnadyumna is their chief, chief of the army. But I think that the topmost position is Bhishma, Bhima.
Bhima.
And all the these forces under Bhima is in unity. So that means this verse says that he is doubtful about his victory because his side is disunity and the other is in perfect unity.
Prabhupada and other acharyas, what they are saying. No, that is also the point. But what Prabhupada writes in purport and other acharyas are right that Bhishma, like you know, it was actually foolishness of Duryodhana to think like that. That they are saying that Bhishma is very old and sometimes you know he might be engrossed in fighting at one side and you know someone can come and attack Bhishma
from
other
side.
So to protect and also.
It is just to please others also.
Not because of that.
No, one of the
other is also doubtful that. He is Bhishma and Drona is partial.
He is partial.
Expresses in another words also.
A diplomat.
Because he is not fully with the Duryodhana. He is telling that he is they are partial.
He has got leniency towards the
Pandavas. The team is in disunity.
Correct.
And here protection is meant for this Chikandi.
Okay. But actually that is not written in
and still all that is a
Bahilika.
We cannot tell that Bhishma is the oldest in the
It is said in that way just to appreciate others also.
In
diplomatic way, he is telling that.
And in Malayalam, in other language, also, Adiyaptam means inception.
Correct, but the way Duryodhana was using this, and therefore the acharyas give correct meaning. No, Ramanujacharya and Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baldev Vidyabhushan, and all they give correct understanding that this is what actually it means. So that is correct.
Any more questions or any more contributions? Still there is 10 more minutes.
Didn't know, bro. My watch is giving 9:30. I would have. Anyway, we can have one bhajan. If there is any question or comment, we can wait. Otherwise we can have one bhajan. 5 minutes, small bhajan. Anyway, I'm not a good singer, but just out of duty, I'm trying to sing. And also, if there is any... I have not sung this song many times, maybe only once or twice, but I liked this song and Sureshchari Prabhu was saying that we should have new song. So we are singing this. There is one particular line which is very, very important actually in this song. This song is written by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is considered as incarnation of
Vyasadeva.
Vyasadeva. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered as incarnation of Vyasdev. Why? What is his contribution?
Chaitanya Bhagavatam.
He wrote Chaitanya Bhagavatam, which is non-different than Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he was son of Narayani, Devi Narayani. Narayani was the daughter of the brother of Shivas Thakur. That is the relationship. Nothing is much known about the lineage of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur from his father's side, but it is said that Narayani, who is the niece of Shivas Thakur, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave much mercy to her when she was 4 years old. And one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was eating prasadam and he gave his own maha to Narayani. And it's said that later, you know, when she became pregnant, you know, this Vrindavan Das Thakur was born. So who is, and Vrindavan Das Thakur was disciple of he was disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. Direct disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. So he was very, very important, and he worshipped Janava Devi also. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Kavidas Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you know, he is a very humble personality. Like whatever he says before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, if we are able to understand, you know, we can truly become humble. He said that I am so low actually. You know, I am lower than Jagai and Madai. Anyone who hears my name, anyone, you know, he will become contaminated. He will lose all his piety. I am lower than a worm in the stool, like that, you know, he writes. And he says that actually I am doing nothing. You know, whatever has been written, you know, was supposed to be written, has already written by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. But whatever, you know, loose end he has kept, you know, I'm there to tighten it actually, bus. And you know, like whatever he has already consumed and through it actually, you know, I'm just taking that remnant and I'm actually elaborating on that. So he said that whatever work I am doing is nothing but the mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So such a personality is Vrindavan Das Thakur. He has composed this bhajan. So we'll try to sing.
नाचे रे नाचे रे नाचे गौर द्विज मोनिया नाचे रे नाचे रे नाचे रे नाचे रे निताई गौर द्विज मोनिया 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 वाम प्रिय गदाधर श्रीनिवास द्वैत भर वाम प्रिय गदाधर वाम प्रिय गदाधर श्रीवास द्वैत भर वाम प्रिय गदाधर श्रीवास द्वैत भर परिषद तरा गण जीनिया परिषद तरा गण जीनिया परिषद तारा गण जीनिया परिषद तारा गण जीनिया नाचे रे नाचे रे निताई गौर द्विज मोनिया नाचे रे नाचे रे निताई गौर द्विज मोनिया बाजे खोल कर ताल मधुर संगीत भाल 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 गगन भोरिलो हरि ध्वनिया गगन भोरिलो हरि ध्वनिया गगन भरिलो हरि ध्वनिया गगन भरिलो हरि ध्वनिया नाचे रे नाचे रे निताई गौर द्विज मोनिया 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 चंदी न चरिता गाए फागु बिंदु बिंदु ताए चंदन चरित गाए फागु बिंदु बिंदु ताए वन माल डोले भालो बोलिया वन माल डोले भालो बोलिया नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
गले शुभ्र उपविता रूप कोटि काम जिता
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 चरण नुपुर रण रानिया
चरण नुपुर रण रानिया
चरण नुपुर रण रानिया नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
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 दुई भाई नाची जाए सहचर गण गाए
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 गदाधर अंगे पोड़े धूलिया
गदाधर अंगे पोड़े धूलिया
गदाधर अंगे पोड़े धूलिया
गदाधर अंगे पोड़े धूलिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
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 पूरब रहस लीला एबे पाहु प्रकाशिला
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 सही वृंदावन एई नादिया वृंदावन ए नादिया सही वृंदावन ए नादिया
सही वृंदावन ए नादिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
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 बिहारे गंगा रे तीरे सही धीर समीरे
बिहारे गंगा तीरे सही धीर समीरे
बिहारे गंगा रे तीरे सही धीर समीरे
बिहारे गंगा तीरे सही धीर समीरे
वृंदावन दास कहे जानिया
वृंदावन दास कहे जानिया
वृंदावन दास कहे जानिया
वृंदावन दास कहे जानिया
नाचेरे नाचेरे निताई गौर बीज मोनिया
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 सही वृंदावन ए नादिया
Translation is Nitai and Gaura are dancing and dancing with beloved Gadadhar on their left and Shivas and Advait on their right while their associates defeat the stars that surround the Gaura moon. The mridangas and kartals are played and sweet songs are sung. The sky is filled with the chanting of Harinam. His body is anointed with sandal paste and drops of holy juice and a forest flower garland dangles nicely across his chest. A white Brahmin thread hangs across his neck. His form defeats million of cupids, and ankle bell jingle on his feet. The two brothers are dancing, and their associates sing, while Gadadhar's body is pelted with powder. Now the Lord manifests his previous joyful Vrindavan pastimes in this Nadia. Now he enjoys on the bank of the Ganga, just like in Vrindavan's Dhir Samir Kunj. Vrindavan Das tells you, for he knows it. He is Srila Vyasadeva, definitely he knows it. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Itai Gaur Brahmanande.